B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Happy Monday. In for Mikey Miss, I'm Anthony Gargano. Cousin for Mikey Miss on this brutally hot Monday. And it's a sad one. I got to admit it. I got a little bit excited over the Phillies. I got caught. And I never do this because you looked at them and you went, they don't have the pitching. They lack, and you look at it, I mean, other than Nola, you don't have the starting pitching to make a serious run. And I started to think, and I got caught up, and I love Charlie, and he's actually going to be joining us today at 5 o'clock, so we'll talk to Charlie Manuel, and the Charlie magic that's back. And I started to wonder, like, when you have a moment like the Bryce Harper Grand Slam, it's tough not to believe. It's tough not to let your mind wander to maybe, to miracles. After all, we saw the Super Bowl when Carson Wentz got hurt. We saw Nick Foles deliver. So why not? Why not the magic of the skip coming in? And then they take the first game of the series against the Padres. They beat Paddock, who is a terrific young pitcher. I'm going, look at this. Look at this. They're going to get their longest win streak. They're going to be back. They're going to be on fire. Oh, they lose two in a row. They lose two in a row to that stinking Pods team that without Fernando Tatis, who's their best player, they lose both games. And then they can't hit. And then yesterday, he's got Reese back in the leadoff spot, which I hate. I know it worked the other night. But I hate Reese Hoskins in the leadoff. He's scuffling badly. You're going to put him back in the leadoff spot? Oh, man, no. And they can't muster any hits. And that ninth inning, and listen, I know Gabe talks about, you know, taking pitches and seeing pitches and 27 pitches in that ninth inning. I mean, the bottom line is you go down 1-2-3. Bottom line is this is, I hate to say fool's gold, but as long as Gabe is the manager, I really have to wonder that he might counteract any magic that Charlie has. And boy, I hope they can somehow muster a run. It gets tougher from here on out. September's a brutal month. This week, you got two in Boston, which is hell, especially for this pitching staff. So we'll check that out, and we'll dive deeply into the Phillies. And look, I hope that there's some magic that can happen with this ball club. I really, really do. I just keep looking at what they tried out. And I don't know how that pitching staff, which is a rotation from a dumpster dive, how they can actually win a wild card spot. I don't. And we're going to be hoping, and we'll see, and we'll talk to the skip a little bit later on today, 5 o'clock, and we'll kind of dive into what Charlie and what kind of Charlie can do to really help this lineup produce after some big numbers, some crooked numbers in hitting season that kind of came down to earth Saturday and Sunday. So we'll talk to Charlie about that. We are so close to football, and I know everybody's got the Josh McCown celebration hats on. the chin hats for in for Josh. I think it's a good signing. It's fine. Ultimately, though, it's all about Carson, right? I mean, he's a backup quarterback. We're not going to see Carson for the preseason. I don't want to see him in the preseason. I don't want to see him Thursday against the Ravens. He'll get enough work in their live practices against Harbs and the Ravens. So I'm good with just let Carson just put him in bubble wrap until the season. These days, when you look around, you look at quarterbacks going down, he doesn't need any kind of unnecessary risk. That first month of the season is play yourself into that game shape, into a rhythm. You're trying to get timing and practice. I go back to the Patriots. And if you look at the Patriots, and this is from the Belichick school, right? They're always vulnerable in the first month of the season. How many times you see them go 2-2, 1-2 to start the year, and you go, oh, this is the year that Brady looks old. This is the year that the Patriots come down to earth, and it's not. And they come late October, like mid-October, they start on a run. And it goes through November and December and January, and that's where they are. And so with the Eagles, I'm fine with, you play yourself into that sort of rhythm, right? You allow Carson to get a little bit of some protection, and then you go into it. You have Washington to start the season, and ladies and gentlemen, 20 days away. Oh my God, 20 days!
That's it?
20, there she is!
I can't believe it!
What do you say, Nat?
Woo! I got my Eagles gear on today. 20 days.
Oh, you do.
Finally here.
I got to talk to you guys. And Tyler is in for Tyrone. What do you say, Ty?
What's going on, and how are you, man?
And you know what I like about you today, too? Is that you're giddy. You're an old soul, Ty. Tyler's an old soul. And normally, you're pessimistic. I'm the wide-eyed optimist, the fool. And usually, you're this pessimist, but you're wide-eyed.
Yeah, you can blame my dad for that one. kind of the Philly, Negadelphia, pre-Super Bowl. We all lived it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I've got nothing but good things to say about this team.
Yeah, I cannot wait. Now, Nat's always positive.
Always. Yeah. That's what I'm known for.
I know.
My glass is always half filled.
You and I kind of are cut from the similar cloth.
Oh, 1,000%.
I don't know what it is, too, because we had that Philly thing.
Uh-huh.
And somehow we're impervious to the Negadelphia stuff.
Yes. Well, I think it's
which is odd.
I think it's because we've learned how to manage it.
Do you?
Yeah, because we now protect ourselves, so that's why we're like, look, you can only go up, right?
Yeah.
I'm
almost like so enthusiastic, though. Like right now, I don't know. I don't want anything to be a buzzkill.
Well, there's technically not enough to have a buzzkill right now. There's not.
Right.
There's the sky
I didn't
is
want
not...
people talking about. Like,
right.
I didn't even want people to bring up the injuries, I didn't get it. I mean, I can't tell you what's going to happen in January, and if Carson is going to be standing in January, I don't know. I mean, it's football. We know the perils. We understand injury. So let the chips fall where they may. I just look at this team and I think
stacked.
Yeah,
stacked.
This offense
insane.
I keep trying to kind of poke holes. And I'll talk it. Because I hear voices, so I'll talk to myself about this team, and I'll try to poke holes through. And offensively, with health being always for every team, and putting that aside, I don't know how they don't go 11, 12, 13 wins.
They're just gonna skate right through.
Well, and the buzzkill factor that the people like me, I think we've resounded ourselves to the fact that injuries happen. And if an injury is going to happen to Carson Wentz, the season's over anyway.
It is.
But
so
you can't live that way.
You can't. Thank you. That's exactly right. You can't live this way. And if I can get one thing across between now and the start of Eagle season and Sixer season, it's enjoy it. Enjoy these two seasons coming up. Because I can't tell you the last time. You remember the Eagles, Super Bowl year, nobody thought they were going to be like they did. Nobody thought that they would roll. Each week they're winning and we're going, are they this good? Could it be? Could it be? They get Jay and Jai. We're doing a Jay and Jai dance. I mean, nobody expected going into the year. We thought it was a stepping stone. 2004, we had that a little bit. I mean, you know,
exactly.
Like T.O., right?
Yeah.
The whole thing. But you still had the Patriots on the other side.
We're dominating. And that's what I think about going into this season. When I think about that Super Bowl run that year, it was so unexpected. And then even though the odds were all against us, they kept going. They pushed through. They inevitably won the Super Bowl. Now that sets us up for this year. So I feel like the expectations for me are almost higher because now we're getting Carson 2.0. We have this stacked offense. The defense is going to be solid. So we need to come into this as now it's like the reset. It's the reset year. Last year we were all, Super Bowl. We didn't really know how to act.
The Super Bowl lobotomy.
Exactly. This year it's game over. Yeah. Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah. We had that. We were in a fog.
Yeah.
Right?
We're
walking around. Oh, my God. The season started. You remember last year, we opened the NFL calendar on that Thursday night, and all the helmets and the NFL was in town, and Nick Foles started the first two games, and it was a blur. Carson comes in, and there was that kind of him getting acclimated, and we know the whole story. So, but we were in this still kind of celebrating, still this Super Bowl fog. Whereas now it's like, all right, we got clear head. You know this team's going to be good. So between this, between the Eagles and then the Sixers, the only other time in my life, and it was before you guys were born, was 83 when they get Moses. And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a kid. And it's 83. And you go, oh, they're going to win. They're going to win. They're going to win. We have two teams. And so I'm out on the buzzkill, man.
And even the games that the Eagles were winning last year, the Colts game, you take a look at even the games that they blew, Tennessee.
Yeah.
We looked at it and said, there are flaws here.
Yeah.
And I know that there are flaws in depth.
They didn't have an outside receiver last year. Like, you looked at the offense. One of the reasons why the offense was so bogged down was you had nobody on the outside. You had no one. Now you have DeSean Jackson stretch the field, and he provides an element that they haven't had. So we got to get into that. I got to get into a couple things like your favorite shirt or jersey. Now, I bring this up for a reason. So we were in Disney World doing the show, the NBA Experience. And it was unbelievable to me that you go to a place like Disney World and there, you know, people are wearing everything. Except if you're from Philadelphia, you had on a jersey, a jersey, a t-shirt, whatever it was, Eagles, Sixers, Philly. It was unbelievable. It was we always know that when we travel, we sport our colors. It was never more glaring than walking around Disney World looking at there's Ben Simmons jersey, there's Carson Wentz, there's Nick. It was like unbelievable.
Everybody wants to be us.
Yeah, so I want to tackle that little thing. And coming up, Stephen A. said this. Speaking of a buzzkill, our buddy Stephen A. Smith says that Nick Foles will always be the bigger legend over Carson Wentz. So we got to tackle that one as well. Lots to do to get into. This is the Mike Missanelli Show. I'm Anthony Gargano filling in right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Philadelphia. That's right, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
B75 The Fanatic.
.220 on the Mike Missanelli Show. I'm Cuz, filling in for Mike E. Miss. A little vacation time for everybody. Tyrone's out. Tyler's in for Tyrone. But, of course, the lovely Natalie is not off. She is here with us.
Oh, gracing, he's hanging in.
Gracing us with her presence. So, did you, you going to take any time off?
Yeah, I'm taking off next Monday. I'm going to go to the beach.
Oh, well, where are you going to go?
Probably just, I think I'm going down to Sea Isle.
A little Sea Isle action.
Yeah.
Nice, yeah. Nice. It's supposed to be, for FanFest, magnificent.
Yes.
We got FanFest coming up Saturday.
I can't believe it's finally here.
Xfinity Live. It's going to, yeah, I know. You know what that means? It means football season's here.
That's exactly what it means.
Quit everything to football season.
I do.
So do I.
It was funny because Jason had the countdown clock for college football, and it actually starts Saturday, the college football season, University of Miami and Florida to get playing Saturday. I'm like, the kickoff classic. And so finally,
I can't believe it.
We got football.
Thank God.
To lose it.
No,
we got good football too.
No, I know.
It's not some throwaway college
exactly,
game.
Exactly, man. It's
I determine.
Good.
I determine my year by football season. I said, oh well, football season's coming up. It's like a time frame for me.
It's so weird because I'm such a loser that I hate summer.
I hate the summer too.
Do you really?
Yeah, I don't like summer at all, Aunt.
No, I love the sun.
Right.
Think about it. If you could just be on a beach every day. What's not to love?
Oh, well, yeah, but
right,
that's not the case.
Right, we got obligations. Yeah. Right? You got work. And the summer slows down.
It's so hot.
Right.
And it's so hot that it's not even enjoyable.
Right. Right, exactly. And then, and sports-wise, it's a dead zone.
There's nothing.
I love baseball, but it's entirely too long for games that don't mean much.
Yeah.
See, as much as I'm old school, when it comes to baseball, they need to shorten the season, expand the playoffs.
I'm liking that we're coming out on the other side of this because you think about like the MLB All-Star break, those 3 days when there's absolutely no sports at all.
It's terrible.
You're a little lost. You're like, well, what am I going to watch tonight? There's nothing on TV.
You know what I want to do? If I was king of the world, what I would do is I would have the NBA. I would start the NBA season Christmas Day.
Ooh.
And I would move the whole schedule back. And I would play in the summer.
That would be so fun.
Right?
Yes.
And I would have it. The same thing. So you start right now mid-October. So I'm lopping off really, when you think about it, about 2 months and change. And I'm going to play on the back end.
Okay.
So that I'll be into August.
So is that to give you exclusive football for September and October? Or is it to cut off baseball by itself in the summertime?
It's more to give baseball some company. Because and the other part of it, too, is I love the NBA, right? So even before the Sixers, I love the NBA. I want to concentrate on it.
Yeah.
So if it starts in Christmas Day, now, you get to concentrate. The playoffs come up in the NFL and college, and then you can dive right back into the NBA. Whereas the first, let's face it, you start in middle of October, it gets lost.
A little bit. It doesn't really have that pickup. I mean, we're diehards, so we watch everything. But
right.
I feel like for at least a lot of those outskirts of the fan base,
exactly.
Like maybe like February or March is when they really start to like hone in on the NBA.
I think it's a genius idea. Plus, nowadays, because of ratings, it used to be like you never did anything in the summer because you get no ratings. But now sports is so big that they're a ratings buster. It doesn't matter.
No, and it doesn't. And it's all on your phone now. It's not like you have to be by a TV.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they would own this summer.
They would own the summer.
And they already own like regular TV. There's nothing on. It's all reruns in summertime anyway.
Exactly.
Take those primetime slots. You've got all of the primetime games lined up in May, June, July.
Like we would have like the NBA finals going right now.
How much fun would that be, too?
Very fun, right? Like, you have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
I'm a baseball guy, and I didn't like the idea when you first brought it up, but you're giving me some convincing points.
Listen, I love baseball. I love that sport. I do. No matter what, what's in, what's out. It goes everything. Every sport goes through cycles where people want to reinvent the game, so it's the NBA, so now you guys shoot threes all the time, and that'll change. And, like, you've seen now in football, people... teams are starting to run the ball more. Look what John Harbaugh is going to do. He's going to go in and it's ground and pound. Tennessee, ground and pound. So what used to be pass, 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 and you still have a lot of throw teams, But now you have run teams. Why? Because teams go, all right, well, I'm going to get light linebackers, and I'm going to play nickel. And so now Harbaugh goes, all right, well, now I'm going to run the ball. So it's waves. And so baseball's through this wave of, let's make Rhys Hoskins a leadoff hitter, even though he doesn't. Let's just try to hit home runs and launch angles. And then that'll change, and it'll morph into what it really is and not go overboard. So I love baseball, but just baseball isn't enough. Because you don't have enough on the line. So I think one of the things how we've evolved as sports fans is that we need stuff to matter.
It's why, right?
I mean, you look at NBA and NHL. In reality, it's all about the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sixers are built for the playoffs. Like, you watch and you're going to see Embiid get rested, and there'll be load management and the whole thing. And the same thing with Horford will be the same thing. But come playoff time, they're all intact. They're going to be a beast. They're built to play playoff basketball. They're built. They're long. They're going to play great defense. They're going to board. So they're built to really make noise in the playoffs. And that's all that really matters. You go out, win your 55 games, 57 games, get a good seed, and then let's go.
I will say, I feel like this past Sixer season, though, however, we did kind of cling to every game. There was a portion of the fan base. Yeah. I felt more so than ever that lived and died by every game. It was really interesting.
This year's going to be a blast.
It's going to be even more.
Exactly.
Right.
No, I'm going to, like, we're in on every game.
Yeah.
We got to sign the pact.
Yeah.
The 82 game pact.
To try and keep things in perspective.
Will you do the pact?
What's the pact?
The pact is you have to watch a piece, at least a quarter of every game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm in.
Ty?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I'm here for most of
the
anyway.
I do it anyway, yeah. Right.
So, yeah, 100%.
All right. Make sure.
I'll hold Natalie to it if you hold me to it.
We'll put out a contract.
That's the contract.
Yeah.
That's the contract.
Yeah.
You're going to make the pack.
Uh-huh.
Man.
I'm in.
Give me all 82 pack.
Hands in. I'm in.
All right. I like it. All right, let's get started on the phone. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us. So Mike Missinelli, Sean, Anthony Gargano, Sean in Malvern gets us started. Sean, what do you say, my brother?
Hey, what's going on, Anthony?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, it's first time talking to you, so I'm happy to have that pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, man. So I think probably the best time in sports is really towards the end of October, man, when you got baseball World Series,
yeah.
You got football midseason, you got hockey, basketball.
The confluence. Yeah,
I mean, you could go one night watching four sports, you know, on one night, you know, so that's the craziest time of the year for sports. But anyway, my Phillies topic, and they're killing me, brother, with this.
I know.
Four games, you know, the win streak, they're hitting the ball, they're looking great, you know, I'm thinking Charlie's the savior, and then these last two games, just wah-wah.
Yeah, you know what the kicker is, too? You beat Chris Paddock, who's their best pitcher, big young stud, and you beat him Friday night. And I'm thinking, oh, they could sweep going in the Red Sox, at least thinking they're going to win 2 or 3 and not lose the series.
No, I was definitely hoping for another sweep, or at least 2 out of 3, you know, based on that first win. Yeah, no, it's...
And Eflin, man, Eflin just, he kills you.
Yeah,
he just kills you. He kills you. He gets chance after chance after chance, and he just buries you.
Yeah, and then on the final point, just I was real happy with the Cobb signing. I thought that was a better fit than signing the other guy whose name, you know, was out there. You know, they could have gotten
Josh McCown.
But I think
I got news for you, though. If Carson goes down, it doesn't matter. It's all over.
Yeah, but in that sense, though, you know, maybe you do want Kaepernick. I'm going in the mindset that Carson's going to be playing. So
yeah,
I'm hoping that, you know, neither of those situations ever even comes to fruition.
Not, brother. That's I agree. Now again, I don't know what Kaepernick is. All that talk about Kaepernick, I don't know what he is. I don't know if he can still play. I mean, there are questions about what he could have done. Forgive all the other nonsense, right? If you just boil it down to, can he play football? I don't know. There was a lot of questions about him prior to this thing. And I don't know. I think everybody deserves a chance. If he could play and he showed me that he could play, then I would sign him. But I don't know. I haven't seen him. And the last time I saw him, he had to cut off half the field. I think you, McCown is the safe signing. It's fine, whatever. If you have to win a game or two, I guess. But to me, it's all about Wentz anyway, right? I mean, the Josh McCown means no. He's not going to come in and win any kind of significant amount of games. You had to talk, Tyler, that the question was if Carson played 12 games, would they still be a playoff team?
Yeah, so I had that conversation Saturday night with somebody, and what I came into the conclusion was, it's not if he gets hurt, it's if he gets hurt, comma, what four games does he miss? Because if he misses the last 4 weeks of the season and can still play in the playoffs, you can navigate two Giants games, a Redskins game, and a Cowboys game to 2-2, and you probably can still come away with 10 wins. If he misses Dallas, Minnesota, Buffalo, Chicago, that's tough to come back from.
Dude, listen, if he's got to play meaningful games, I'm worried. Now I'll cry like I cried the last time, and Nick Foles isn't there to bail us out. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. And bottom line, if Wentz goes down again, I'm crying.
And that's also what I mean when I was saying earlier, this is the reset of the team because there is no Foles to bail Wentz out. Right. There is nobody. Like, this is essentially a brand new team. It's a brand new slate. It's a brand new dynamic. It's a brand new, it's not brand new, but the offense, you know, with the return of Deshaun, adding someone like Jordan Howard.
Well,
like,
they got to be.
Right.
They got to be potent. They got to be nasty. They got to go up and down the field. I will be crushed and disappointed as all get out if they don't have a, you know, average 28 to 30 points a game, motor up and down the field. If Wentz is not that, there is so much riding on Wentz. There is so much pressure on him. He's got the tools to do it. So I love the kid, but that's it. No excuses.
Exactly. He has to execute this year. There's nobody there protecting him after that. Because if he goes down, like you said, it's over.
Ginger Jesus, the whole thing.
Yeah.
You got to be smart. You got to be smart. And he, there's no excuse now, too. There's no just relying on Ertz over the middle. You got a ridiculous offense, two tight ends. You got Deshaun. You got Miles Sanders. I mean, you get excited just thinking about this offense and what they can do.
The versatility.
Yes.
It's huge.
There's got to be a live to play another play factor, though.
Has to.
You know, you got to get rid of the football if you have to.
Has to. You know, listen, there's no excuse. It's why, do you remember early in training camp, he throws a pick, and it was Grugier Hill who picks him off, and he goes and try to tackle him. And Grugier Hill stiff arms him, and I'm going, no! The last thing you need to do is look and go tackle somebody.
Right.
Get out. Get that duck. Hit the ground.
He has to more thoughtful this year that way.
And Grugier Hill's probably throwing that stiff arm like, dude, get away from it. Come on, we need you.
Yeah, but because he didn't realize who was there. He turned around and he relaxed. But, you know, that's my only fear with Carson is that it's so innate. Like, that competitor thing is so innate that he just can't help himself. And the other thing is he's got so much to prove.
Exactly.
I mean, look, Stephen A. says today that Foles will be a bigger legend in Philadelphia than Wentz. Now, that's a hot take, right?
A hot take. I mean, I still think that there is some part of the fan base that agree with him. I think that there's a lot of people who agree with him.
Well, let's be real.
Not that it's true, but I think that there's part of the fan base that agrees with him.
Listen, Wentz has to at least win one, maybe two, to unseat the legend that is Foles.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a Ginger Jesus guy.
Right.
But, yeah, you got to win one, maybe two, if we're talking about legendary status.
Yeah, because he wouldn't have delivered the first one. Nick Foles did that.
Oh, you're right.
Well, and
two
if
of
one
them
comes
would solidify
up,
his status.
Yeah.
If one comes up, it's just one for Carson Wentz. Everybody's going to go, well, I put Foles a little higher because he was a backup.
Unless that one, like if he comes out with this offense and he's putting up ridiculous numbers, like shattering all Eagle quarterback numbers. Yeah, you know, then we're talking, which I think you should do.
There's not really much leeway for him to not.
Yeah. Well, listen, you got to do it. Scott and Barrington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. We say, Scott, hey.
Brother Ant, what's going on?
What's up, brother Scott?
Nothing much. Good seeing you a couple weeks ago when you and Jason Martinez, Brother Martinez, was outside.
Ah, that's right.
Xfinity Live. Y'all getting to a game, and it's good seeing you. Looking forward to seeing you next
week. Thanks, my brother. Appreciate it.
Real quick, if I can, my godmother, she's a big Philadelphia fan. I want to say hello to Miss Sissy. She's the best godparent, yeah.
Say hello to Miss Sissy, godparent.
But thank you. But man, for the Phillies, now you can't blame Coach Capra for, you know, the signings, but the format of what's going on inside that dugout. You look at last year, and now I see why Carlos Santana flipped out. You see he's the MVP caliber this year. You look at even Crawford. They traded him. Boom. He's doing good this year. So I do blame him for what's going on inside the thing, especially for not disciplining the guys. I mean,
yeah.
I listened to Atlanta Braves coach, and he set their star player down, and he went on and said, I have no problem doing that.
Dave Roberts did it with the Dodgers, and he did it with Jock Peterson. So there's precedence around baseball. Look, for whatever reason, this thing has been choppy, right? Offensively, even the way he's handled the pen, the lineup, the new lineup every day, who's been leadoff. And look, I know when he had kept the lineup intact when before McCutcheon got hurt, and then he switched up. But at some point, you got to wonder, is he the guy that's going to lead you?
Absolutely, that, Brother Anthony. Also, no offense to him, we know he's a physical specimen, but to me, he still thinks he's a player, and he's got to separate that from being a coach, Brother Anthony. Am I wrong for thinking like that?
No, I know. Dude, I feel you, Scotty. I do. Listen, I don't want to hear him talk about pitch counts. I really don't, after the game. I don't want to hear him, you know, glow, but we fought. Hey, we ground down. It was tough. We saw 27 pitches. I don't want to hear it. You lost the game. I don't want to hear it. You know, I think, unfortunately, what colors a lot of our opinions is his personality, which is just sometimes nauseating, right? Sometimes it's so saccharine that you say, please make it stop. Just be upset for one time. The fact is, you don't have to bury anybody. Nobody's asking you to give me a pound of flesh. But just don't bestow the virtues of seeing pitches when you lost the game and you scored two runs against a team that you should score more. I mean, let's be real here. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve, what do you say, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Steve? What are you doing, buddy?
Hey, man, listen, if I didn't call you guys, I normally call Mike a lot, and I hear you guys. I've been hearing, listening to the Rate Talk Radio sports for more years than I can imagine. Today's my birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, Stevie.
Thank you, man. If I didn't get this out, if this 58th day of my birthday year of my life, then I'd be upset because after the fourth game of Chicago, the series that they did with three games or whatever it was, they won.
Yeah.
I really, really felt good. I said, okay. They beat one of the best teams. Maybe this is something. And then, like you said, they come in, they beat San Diego's best pitcher, and then all of a sudden, Quinn goes down. And so my first point, tell me if I'm wrong. If you got a guy that ain't hitting the ball, you don't lead him off. And then
I know. I agree.
But he'll play Rodriguez. But
yeah, I know. I hate that. Yeah, I know. I know.
And nobody... I'm an Italian. You know what it does to me? It's like the olive oil goes to the brain. You know what I mean? Oh, my God. But it's like, and the second point is you start off with Eflin, and then in the pivotal time you're fighting for a wild card, you bring in Pavetta.
There you go. Mikey calls him Pavagina.
You got guys in there that are experienced relievers, even for one inning. Don't bring in the other guys. The two guys that disappointed the Phillies. All right, I'll let you talk.
No, Stevie, I get you, man. I get you. When Mike calls him Pavagina, yeah, he drives you nuts. It's true. You know, some of the moves, are they equipped to have a big-time run? I don't think so. Not with that rotation. That said, I started to wonder the magic. Charlie's back. They're hitting the ball. Beat the Cubs. I thought it was more real than the Mets series. And you love the plant, Nat.
Oh, the bamboo?
Yeah.
That was like my favorite part of the season.
You love the Miller bamboo plant.
I did.
Love that. But I thought the Cubs series was more real than, like, I thought that was for bogus.
Right.
That bamboo stuff.
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, you know, Harper hits a walk-off grand slam. I mean, come on, Charlie's back.
Yeah.
You start to let your mind wander a bit.
Yeah, I mean, and there was a lot of momentum, I think, heading into that series in general, just because of the way that they were losing and, you know, making the changes, firing the hitting coach, bringing Charlie in. So I think that the team kind of rallied around for that minute, but it's kind of like, okay, the luster is now gone. We're just back to being our regular selves, and this is who we are. Yeah. That's kind of who they are this year.
Yeah, well, you got two. They have two games in Boston, which is really tough.
That'll be huge.
Now here's the deal: there's 20 days from the start of Eagles season.
Yeah,
Tyler, I want the song, man. I want the song. Come on, 20 days from this. Close your eyes. What do you see when you hear it?
I see a lot of Carson Wentz touchdowns this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, my man.
I have to say, this might be the first time that this has ever been played on the Mike Missinelli show, Ann.
Are you serious?
I don't think we've played it. Mike doesn't play the Eagles fight song.
No? I can't get enough of it.
I know. It's great. I'm happy. Huh? It's Monday. We should be playing it.
20 days.
20 days.
The Mike Missinelli show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the Mike Missinelli Show. I'm Anthony Gargano. I'm right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyler Zuli. And of course, Natalie. As we hang out here. And Natalie.
Yes.
We got a Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. I'm looking forward to it. What is the, I like the horns.
Yeah.
You play.
Do you have my horns, Tyler?
I will get them for you in just a second.
Very regal. Very British.
Wasn't that a nice touch?
Yeah, I like it.
I thought it was a fun addition.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah. So the board's a little different today because Tyler's manning it, so he's going to pull up my horns, and then we will get right to it. It says the Natalie Trumpets. Do you see it? There they are.
I love it.
All right, Ann. Over 600 votes on this one so far. Anthony was in Disney all week and saw a ton of Philly sports gear. When you go out, especially when you're out of town, which team do you rep the most? 63% say the Eagles, 13% say the Sixers, 17% say the Phillies, and 7% say the Flyers. So 63% rep the Eagles when they're out of town.
It's unbelievable. It was uncanny to me. I always look for that stuff. It's really good fodder, good show fodder.
And yeah.
You kind of learn a lot about it. And I do a national show, too, for Fox. So
right.
I always kind of look around, see what people are doing, kind of that sort of thing. And the most of, and here we are in Disney World. We did it for the NBA experience. They brought the show down. Jason and I went down to Disney World. And, you know, you're at these parks and you're looking around. And Philadelphia 10-1.
Really?
And when it comes to rocking.
Yeah, the gear. That's funny.
10-1.
Yeah.
Who had a Jason Kelsey jersey? Nuts. Who's wearing a Jason Kelsey jersey? Like, only a diehard.
Right.
Like, only a diehard. Eagle hats everywhere. And I did my Go Birds and, you know, be light up.
They love it. There's like this camaraderie that just follows you all over the world.
Awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of Sixers. I saw a bunch of Ben Simmons. And Embiid's hot down there, right? So they all had the jersey, the Embiid or the Simmons jersey.
Well, that's why I'm surprised the poll says that the Phillies are second, because I feel like it's Sixers now. Everywhere I go, it's Sixers. It's Simmons, Embiid, it's Sixers.
Have you guys been to Wildwood at all this summer?
I was only there once briefly on like a Friday night. I was on the boardwalk for an hour. But everywhere.
I think the reason the Phillies are higher than you would think is because you can get the Scherzer.
Yeah.
You can get the jersey. Harper. You know, and, yeah, and the Scherzer's cheaper than an actual jersey, so right. It's easier to come by.
I just saw, when I was down there on the boardwalk, I just saw more Sixer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, the Sixer stuff popped, and I don't know, on that boardwalk, there had to be a dozen basketball games.
Well, that and because...
Dozen basketball games. Like you name it. They had the 3-point shooting contest.
Yeah.
Like, the legit, where you had the money ball right on the boardwalk.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
That and the Sixers, there's so many different, like, facets of it. You know, there's the whole process. Basically, anything that has to do with the Sixers, you can put it on a shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. By the way, 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street, Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Let's sneak in a call. Let's go to my man Nikki in Collegeville. Nikki Wine. What do you say, Nikki Wine?
Antonio, what's up, buddy?
He's our resident wine salesman.
Listen, back in our younger days, you know, when you're like at a bar and you're out with your girl, you meet a girl and things are going really promising and you can't wait to leave. And then she's like, oh, let me get another drink. And you're like, oh, come on. That's how I felt today, 10. But I just wanted to hear you just berate this Phillies team. And I come on, you know, I turn it on at 10 and it's great. You know, it's Jason, you know, with Chunas. But I was just waiting for your tirade. So. This is the after drink.
You know what's weird? I'm kind of tirated out. I had some hope when Charlie came back. We got Charlie on at 5 o'clock today. And like, right. There's a part of me that kind of gets wistful because the story would be an amazing story, Nick. If
I know.
Charlie came back. But look, I mean, who are we kidding? They don't have the pitching to make a run.
I understand that. And because I heard people say earlier today, oh, what's it be? Even if we do make the playoffs, we probably can't pitch Nola. So it's a one-game playoff, will be one and done. But that doesn't guarantee the team you're facing doesn't have a number five starter, or they're starting their second-best starter on, like,
right.
3 days rest. So, and look, at the end of the day, once you get past that first game, then you're right. Even if you do win, what are you going to do? Because you don't have enough pitching to get to a 5-7-game series. But I think the part that frustrates, look, it's one thing to lose, right? And it's not one thing to lose, but then you got to listen to Gabe.
I know.
I remember when I was starting to play football, and I was a little kid. You saw me. I was a tall, skinny kid, right? I was a basketball player. I was meant to play basketball.
You're a wide receiver. You were like sunshine with dark hair.
Right. Exactly. So we played this team, right? And we stunk. Like, we stunk. And we played this team that they were monsters. And you know how it is. Like, they get off the bus, and you're looking at them like, oh, this isn't the team we're playing.
Yeah, we got no shot. Right.
Yeah. No. You're thinking that's not the team we're playing. Another bus. Right, and that's not the team we're. But next, you know, they come on your field, and you're like, "What the hell?" Well, my coach calls an end around. Okay, wide receivers end around. You know, just like Coach Dougie likes to call. And I got smashed. I came around a corner, and I got smashed. And that's when you tell your team, "Hey, listen, guys, you fought. You guys fought. That's a really good team over there." But you don't.
I agree. Us,
when you have a $500 million payroll. That you tell us, I was proud of these guys. It was hot out there.
I know. You
the cited
the temperature.
Too.
Yeah, give me a break. I agree. No, you're dead right, Nikki. You're dead right. Like, I don't want to hear the platitudes. I don't want to hear you grounded, you grinded out pitches. I mean, it's nonsense. But I think at this point, I'm gayed out. I am. I'm gayed out. I'm like tone deaf to him. I don't want to hear it. So I kind of feel like tune him out. I'm hoping for Charlie. But ultimately, we got 20 days until Eagles start. I mean, I don't know. I have to be honest with you. They don't have the pitching to make a real run.
I just need accountability somewhere. I'm tired of hearing loud outs.
But he's not going to give it.
I know.
But he'll never give you that.
And it'll be back next year, by the way.
You're probably right. Unfortunately. Like, here's the bottom line. You see... Look, Jack McKeon managed the Marlins and won a World Series. And he was, it was 80 or in his 80s. There's no reason why you couldn't just shift Charlie into being a manager. give him a couple of years. I mean, he's in good shape. You know, he relates. Sometimes we look at age. If you relate, you relate. It doesn't matter. You could be a young man and not relate. Or you could be an older guy and guys love you. You know, the guy speaks baseball. And maybe you could use him as a bridge when this thing blows up, and it kind of will blow up. All right, we're going to take a quick TO on NBC Sports Philadelphia and 97.5 The Fanatic. This is the Mike Missinelli Show. I'm Cuz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.